Now is the time. Now is the place for you to come and receive mercy and grace. For the grace giver is here. He will shower you with grace from the holy place. Just receive his grace by your faith. Amen. You ready to receive his grace tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's no one like you. No one can compare to you. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, you may have your seats. Thank you, worship team. Whew, praise God. Now, if that don't get you started, I don't know what will. Amen. Well, next week, next Wednesday, we're going to have our candlelight service from 7 to 8 p.m. So, be a great time to come together. We'll finish this series. We'll spread the light. And it's a great time. And you can have extra time with your family for the Christmas weekend. So next Wednesday will be our candlelight service. Amen. And if you would, if you feel led to help, we're sending a team of three people from the church to Guyana to do some work and bless the children home. And if you want to be a part of that, you can. If you want to designate a special offering, just mark it Guyana, and then we'll put it all towards Guyana. If you brought your tithe and your regular offerings tonight, you can just put that in the thing there. And I don't know about you, but I just enjoy giving to God. Amen. Because without him, I wouldn't have anything anyway. But he receives our gifts and he just multiplies them back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Father, I thank you for blessing every gift and every giver tonight. Lord, you receive their seed and you make it grow and multiply it and do great things with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, you're here tonight because you want to catch the Christmas spirit. Amen. What does it mean to catch the Christmas spirit? It means to have the attitude of heaven to invade earth. Hallelujah. There are times when God wants to invade. You know, I use that word invade. When I was in college, Pastor Fiona and I, we were part of a group called Pioneers for Christ. And we would go on invasions. And we would go to churches in different areas. And we would preach the gospel. We would witness and do all kinds of things. And it was a great time. That's how the Lord trained me. That was my practical experience in ministry. So we're talking about things that happened around the Christmas story. I'm going to go over this list again and then we'll get into it tonight, all right? There were things that were happening. Heaven was moving. Number one, there was angelic visitations and divine messages. There was declaring the name of Jesus. Something happens when you declare that name. There were prophetic utterances and sayings, prophecies that were spoken years ago, hundreds of years ago, centuries ago, were being fulfilled. They were coming to pass. People could locate where Jesus was going to be born because of of what a prophet said. There was a knowing that Christ is king. How many know? We got to know he's king. He rules and reigns. He takes dominion. Then there was a true and genuine worshiping of the Lord took place at Jesus' birth. I mean, people were coming to worship the Lord. They made worship a priority. Then there was exceeding joy, great joy, and gladness. Let me tell you, the birth of Christ, joy was off the charts. I mean, God doesn't say exceeding great joy. He doesn't use those words just to make them sound good. I mean, when he says exceeding great joy, it's the most awesome joy that you could ever experience. Another thing that was involved in the spirit of Christmas is there was giving of gifts. All right, men gave, they traveled a great distance just to give some gifts. All right, so there was giving going on. And then there were dreams and visions. God was using dreams and visions to speak to people and to warn people and to communicate. Then there was the Holy Spirit who was working. He was the power. He was doing awesome things. All right? Holy Spirit was working. Then there were people, Jesus was known as the Son of God, and there was people turning to God. You know, at Christmas time, it's the greatest time to turn to God. Amen? Turn up the volume. And let Jesus be heard. Then there was faith and believing. I mean, people were believing awesome things. Oh, you're going to have a baby never knowing a man. Okay. She believed it, right? She believed the impossible and it came to pass. And then in the Christmas story, there was salvation. A Savior was born. Salvation came to earth. Where we can be saved from our sins. Then there was the birth of Jesus. Oh, I'm going to talk about that next week. I'm telling you, God showed me some things about birthing something. You know, God will help you conceive something inside of you. And what's conceived in you will develop. And when it gets to a point where it's fully developed inside, it's going to come out. I don't want to get ahead of myself there. And then finally, there was evangelism. The spirit of Christmas involved telling others about the good news, telling others what they saw and what they heard. All right? So you ready to get into this tonight and catch the spirit of Christmas? We want the spirit of Christmas to permeate our atmosphere right now. And he's here to do just that. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. I'm going to touch on some worship, and then we're going to move on from there. Luke chapter 1. Hallelujah. You know, in the Christmas story, people, when they had an encounter with God, worship was an automatic response. When God would touch someone, they would just come out with worship, okay? And we need to make worship a priority in our lives. Not just in an atmosphere like this, but every day. We can come into God's presence. We can worship Him in spirit and in truth. All right, Luke chapter 1, verses 46, starting with verse 46. You know, after Mary met with Elizabeth, she had this to say, and Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord." I want you to know, she began to magnify the Lord with her soul, with her emotion, her mind, will, and emotions. She began to magnify. What does magnify mean? It means to make bigger than everything else. She said, "My soul magnifies who? The Lord." How many know you got to make God bigger than your circumstances? You got to make God bigger than your problems. You got to make God bigger than your challenges. How do you do that? You magnify God. You don't even need a magnifying glass. All you need is a voice. You begin to declare who God is and what He's done, and that makes Him big in the atmosphere. Mary said this aloud. And then she said, "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty," she began to declare some things about God. He's mighty. He's done great things. How many can say that God's done some great things? Amen. Well, don't keep it in. Let it out. Declare it. Get on the rooftop and shout it. You know, Christians have something to shout about. Holy is His name. His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. God's mercy does not diminish from generation to generation. The same mercy that was on your grandparents is on you. It'll be on your children, on your children's children. He has showed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty. That sounds the same thing that like John was saying. He's going to bring down the high, straighten out the crooked, build up the low. Same thing, just different words. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent empty away. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. So there was great worship. He's done great things. We need to praise God for what He's done. Because if He did it before, He'll do it again. Hallelujah. Go to verse 68. Verse 68. I'm sorry, verse 64. This is when Zechariah was about to name his son John. No one was named in his family like that. And Elizabeth said, "His name's going to be John." And they looked to Zechariah and said, "Hey, what's going on?" And then he wrote it down, "His name's going to be John." Verse 4, "And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed." And what did he do? He spoke and what? Oh, I'd be praising God too if my mouth was stuck for 9 months. Do you realize Zechariah couldn't talk for 9 months because he didn't believe? And God had to shut his mouth. You got to be careful when you don't believe. Don't speak your unbelief. Amen? But the minute his mouth was opened, the minute he believed, his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, and what came out? Praise. He began to praise God. He began to worship God. Verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people." Once again, he's making a public declaration of who God is and what God has done. That's what worship is. Declare who God is. Declare. Open up your mouth. Let it out of your mouth. He didn't just think it. He said it. How many know we have so many things that we can worship God with? We can worship Him with our mouth, with our feet, with our hands. You are an instrument. And God just wants to play His song on you. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. This is the angels with the shepherds. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God." I'm telling you, God's angels, the heavenly choir, came down and appeared with the angel that was speaking to the shepherds. And what did they do? They were praising God. Can you imagine being in that concert? Perfect pitch. Songs just coming directly from heaven. Do you know what happens in heaven? Praise every day. You might as well get used to praising now, because that's what we're going to do in heaven. I mean, the angelic choir came down and was praising God. And verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Did you know that your praise will affect two dimensions, heaven and earth? Your praise brings heaven down to where you are. We know that from Paul and Silas, right? In the prison, in the darkest part, after being beaten, what did they do? They didn't cry, they didn't complain, they didn't whine, they praised. What happened? Their praise changed the atmosphere of that prison, didn't it? Praise did that. If praise can change an atmosphere in a prison, what can praise change for you? Praise can turn a defeat into victory. Praise will drive the devil out of your house. Go down to verse 20. And the shepherds, after they went witnessing, what did they do? They returned. How did they return? They were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen that was told unto them. Their response was they glorified and praised God. Why? Because worship was a priority in these people's lives. I mean, they were having divine encounters, and those divine encounters caused them to worship. All right? Then finally, let's go to Matthew chapter 2. Well, no. Don't want to get ahead of myself yet. Go down to verse 36. Chapter 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. Everybody say a great age. What does that mean? She was old. Okay? She had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. She was about 84 years old. All right? So she's in her 80s. What is she doing in her 80s? She did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers every day, night and day. Listen, if you've got breath in you to praise, you can praise. Amen? You can worship. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks. Isn't giving thanks worship? She was praying night and day, and now she's giving thanks in her 80s. And gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. All right? Now we can go to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Did you know that when you come to worship, it's not wasted time? Worship is not a waste of your time. How do I know that? God sent some wise men from the east. Do you realize it took them? They met Jesus when he was about 2 years old. The wise men were not at the stable where Jesus was born. They were at a house, and Jesus was a couple years older. He'd already had his first birthday, his second birthday. And these men show up. Don't know how many they were, but what did they do? Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and what? Worshipped him. So them traveling that distance was not a waste of time. What did their worship do? Their worship gave them a way out of danger. After they worshiped and after they gave their gifts, what happened? God spoke to them and said, go home another way. See, when you connect to God through worship, He's able to speak to you. He's able to show you things that you don't know. Worship is incredibly important. And after they worshiped, I mean, they fell down and worshiped Him. Incredible. You don't have to turn there, but Psalm 96, 8 and 9 says, give the Lord the glory due His name. Did you know that He's got some glory due Him? He is the person who is due glory. Have you paid your dues? If He's due glory, have you paid your dues? Worship Him. That's how we pay our dues. Amen? When Jesus calmed the storm, His disciples worshiped Him as the Son of God. When Jesus ascended into heaven, Luke 24, verses 50 through 53, it says he lifted up His hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while He blessed them, that He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Did you know that worship is a good investment? Because when you worship Him, you do get things that you would have never gotten had you not worshiped Him. So we need to make worship a priority in our life. That's how it was around Jesus' birth. Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary. I mean, John was even worshiping in the womb. When Mary came up, Elizabeth described it as the baby leaping in her womb. Whoa! Whoa! John was a worshiper. 6 months old, he was in the womb. What? Let me out! That's Jesus! I can see Elizabeth. What's going on here? Why, John was worshiping. Let's just take a moment. Father, we worship You. Come on, worship Him. Oh, we bless Your holy name. We praise You, Lord. You're the great almighty God. We magnify You, Lord. We bless You, Jesus. Oh, we praise You, Lord. We give You glory and honor and praise to Your name. Hallelujah. Glorify Your name. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name forever. Hallelujah. Doesn't that make you feel good? Another thing that was happening, there was great joy, exceeding joy. Look at someone close to you and say, your joy is about to increase. Go with me. We're right there, Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. Look at verse 10, Matthew chapter 2. When they saw the star, they what? How? Exceeding great joy. I mean, they weren't just joyful. It was great joy. It exceeded their expectation. Exceeding great joy. Let's say that out loud. Say exceeding great joy. Say, I can have exceeding great joy. They got it from seeing a star. Imagine what we get when we're into His presence. What kind of joy is in His presence? Fullness of joy. That means if you came in here with your joy level low, you're in the filling station right now. You may have come in joyless. You're going to leave joy overflowing. I mean, when you have exceeding great joy, you can't contain it. It's like a volcano. When you have exceeding great joy, you will erupt. It will come out. You can't keep it down. You can't keep it quiet. You can't keep still because it's exceeding great joy. It's so wonderful. I can't contain it. I'm telling you, these wise men, they had it going on. Now, they rejoice with this word to rejoice. It means cheerful. It means happy. It means well off. It means glad. And this word great is the word megas. Don't we use the word mega for something that's really big? It's the word megas. And it means exceedingly great, large, loud, mighty, strong. And this word exceeding, it's the word phodra. It means in a high degree. It means exceedingly, greatly, very great. Okay? So, these wise men, they travel the distance and they see this star and they rejoice with exceeding great joy. They did it, didn't they? They did the rejoicing because they couldn't contain themselves. If you can't contain yourself, the only thing left to do is let it out. Don't hold it in. Don't try to suppress it. Don't try to deny it. Let it out. That will relieve the pressure on the inside. Okay? Go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 14. Luke 1, 14. Well, we better read verse 13 to get the context here. Luke 1, 13 and 14. But the angel said unto him, talking to Zechariah, "Fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." See, God already had his purpose ready because he already had a name for him before he was born. God already knew what he was supposed to do. Okay? And verse 14, what's the result? What's going to result? "And you shall have joy and" what? Now that must be two different things. Joy and gladness. "And many shall rejoice at his birth." Not all, but many. How many want to join the rejoicing party? I mean, Zechariah and Elizabeth were also old. I don't know how long they've been praying to have a son, but God heard their prayer. And as a result, he said, "You shall have joy and gladness." You, everybody say me. God wants me to have joy and gladness. Not madness, gladness. Not sadness, gladness. Joy and gladness. Do you believe you can have it? It's part of catching the spirit of Christmas. It's not a sad, stressed out time. It's a joyful time. Some of you need to replace your stress for something much better. Joy and gladness. Just receive. Let your brain tell your face to be joyful. you shall have joy and gladness. Now, if you get a message from heaven, is there any sad person in heaven? Is there any sorrow in heaven? See, when the attitude of heaven comes into earth, it takes our negative emotions and it transfers them into something good. Okay? And guess what? There's no age limit on rejoicing and having joy and being glad. You can have it when you're young. You can have it when you're older. Amen? I want you to know that God wants you joyful. Okay? Let's go down to verse 28. Verse 28. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. When the angel first appeared to Mary, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. That phrase, highly favored, it's some versions, he said for her to rejoice. Don't freak out. Rejoice. Don't stress out. Rejoice. Did you know that rejoicing is a choice? When God says rejoice, you have one choice to make. You either rejoice or no. But if God says, see, and God says rejoice, and again I say what? Rejoice. That means if you didn't get it right the first time, you can try it again. All right, let's go down to verse 44. Verse 44. This is John. For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Did the Bible say leaped? Did you know that sometimes you got to jump for joy? You can't just, yes, I'm joyful. Listen, joyful people don't sit there like a frog on a log. Joyful people move. Amen? That means sometimes you got to leap. Because the moment you take that leap, you will jump into joy. Joy is there, but leap is the key that opens the door. The action that you take to yield is the key that opens the door for what God wants you to have. You know, sometimes, for me, it's like kick-starting a motorbike. You ever see anybody try to kick? Sometimes they don't get it. They go, no, 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 no. Kick it again. No, 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 no. Kick it one more time. Then it takes off. Sometimes that's how it is for me. No, 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 no. It's just getting going. No, 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 no. It's trying to get. But then the spark plug kicks, and God gives me a kick, and out it comes. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. All right, we already read verse 47. Mary said, My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. The very fact that God is your Savior, you can rejoice in God. Your joy does not come from this earth. It comes from God Himself. So if you ever wonder if you have a reason to rejoice, if you know God, you have a reason to rejoice. God is the source of what makes you rejoice. Okay? Go down to verse 58. 58. This is Elizabeth. After she delivered John, verse 58, and her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. Did you know that God's mercy will cause you to rejoice? God's mercy comes in, it relieves the pressure. Oh, when God's mercy comes in, her cousins, her relatives, they began to rejoice with her because they saw the mercy of God in demonstration. Blessed are the merciful. You know what? You know what David said in Psalm 23? He said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Wherever there's mercy, there's an opportunity to be joyful. God has showed us great mercy. So David determined that wherever he was going to go, mercy was going to go with him. Because he always had a reason to rejoice. He could be in the middle of a cave being chased by a mad king, and he had reason to rejoice. His enemies could be surrounded against him, and he had reason to rejoice. Why? Because mercy was with him. When you take mercy with you, you can rejoice. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 10. This is God's message. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Everybody say, fear not. It's hard to rejoice and be fearful at the same time. Listen, when you're rejoicing, fear leaves. When you have the joy of the Lord, all burdens that were trying to attach themselves to you fall off. And when you're in a state of rejoicing, the enemy cannot touch you. It's like throwing a rubber ball against a wall, just bounce back. When you're rejoicing, all burdens leave. I bring you good tidings of what? What kind of joy? Which shall be to who? Can all people have great joy? Can you have great joy? It's not based on what you've done. It's not based on who you are. It's based on who he is and what he's done. You can have great joy because Jesus is the joy giver. Not your job, not your family, not your relationship. Jesus. It's good to know because those other things cannot take the joy that comes from him. Good, great joy for all people. Verse 11. So where do we find this joy? Psalm 16:11. In his presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 89:16. In your name they shall rejoice all day long. Woo, you can have a joyful party. It'll last all day long. Psalm 132, verse 16. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Sometimes you got to shout for joy. Sometimes you got to leap for joy. Sometimes you got to rejoice for joy. But I want you to notice there's always something that you got to do. It's not works, okay? You're doing it because you have faith in him. Faith acts, doesn't it? Faith acts on God's word. All right? John 15:11. God's spoken word to you brings joy and makes you joyful. He said, abide in my word, and my joy will be in you, and your joy will be full. When his joy is in you, your joy is full. Without him, you're joyless. With him, you're joyful. All right? We need to practice some joy. You got a reason to rejoice. We need to practice. I'm not going to cheerlead you. You got to do it. I've given you reasons to rejoice. Yeah, you need a little help. Jesus is your king. He makes you sing. Jesus took all your junk, and he makes you jump. You can jump. Go for it. Jesus' love never fails. He puts it on you like big hay bales. He covers you with his love. We sing about joy. Joy to the world.